pants they had to talk back and forth.
Yeah.
Right here?
Yep.
So this is good?
Yeah, that's good. If you want to cover up your whole face, you're more than welcome to do that.
A lot of people.
That's what Randy likes to wear his sunglasses during, but you can do whatever you want.
I prefer to wear sunglasses every time I get the chance. Yeah. It gets rid of that shifty look I have in my eye.
I kind of feel like it's a little obnoxious.
Got a pair of sunglasses on?
Don't forget to record over there.
Austin's a little left out.
Yeah, I'm naked, man.
Ready?
Nice. Thank you. I think we're recording here. Are we recording there?
Yep.
And we're recording there?
Yep.
I've done a few of these with nothing recording before. So
nice.
I got to do the double check. Which reminds me, Marshall, Texas, Casey, your his traveling partner, your mentor, I would say.
No. No, one, I didn't say that.
Got on okay. Was that. It Marshall?
Please strike that from the record.
That he rode a bareback horse with no judges in the arena?
I don't remember that happening to Casey, but it happened to Stephen Peebles at Lufkin a couple years ago. He rode this horse called Teaspoon that's not very easy to ride and made a really good ride, and there was no judges in the arena. So they made him wait another 2 days, and he came back and got on the same horse and won the rodeo with the judges in the arena this time.
I could have sworn it was... Okay, when is... Lufkin's in April. When's Marshall?
That'd be March.
Oh. I was thinking maybe he told me about... Casey's the one that told me about it. In
he probably did tell you that.
Details
just,
aren't
It just
really,
wasn't true.
You're going to find here in Winnebago, details aren't that important.
No.
In stories at all.
I always heard it's... best not to let a lie get in the way of a good story.
Yeah. I thought it was the truth. Don't let the truth get in the way of
that's
a good story.
That's even better.
Yeah. Yeah. Both.
It's almost like it's supposed to be that way.
My hypocrisy only goes so far. We got in the hot seat with us, Mr. Tilden Hooper, Mr. Austin Foss, and they've come to Winnebago to hang out with us for the day. Coy, my man, spurred a bareback horse, brisket, and the Baptist. However, we only have 3 microphones, so he gets to sit on the couch. Next round's for you, bud. Good job today, though.
Great job riding today.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to break down his ride. How did
way to do all the work. Now we're going to sit over here and talk about it.
Yeah. So I've talked about you on a podcast before. I've only done 4, by the way. So 2 out of 4, you're doing good.
Hey, that's pretty good.
All 3, you swept the circuit finals.
I did. I had pretty good luck there. Drew really good. It was fun. I went there last year, and it was that way for Bill Tudor and Jake Brown, and it wasn't as fun for me. And then this year, I won all 3 rounds, and it was really fun for me.
Yeah.
You're about to lose your mic.
I'm about to lose my mic? Uh-oh.
Yeah, don't touch it. Leave it alone.
Jesse's girl? What else?
Jesse's girl, I had one called Secret Agent Man, a Rafter G's, and then I had one of my favorite horses ever, Biscuit, Rafter G's.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yep. Biscuit, that might be the next bucking horse here in Winnebago.
Fit in with all the other B-words out there.
What about you, Austin? How's your year going so far?
It's going really good. I had a really good circuit finals as well. I got on some pretty neat horses and got another trip out to Florida to the Rams circuit finals and couldn't be happier, really.
Yeah, where are you going next?
Oh, as you say, the next one, right?
Yeah, on to the next one. No, we're
hoping to go to Fort Worth on the 9th for the short round. If not, we'll go to San Angelo.
How'd you do on your first one?
Pretty good. Right now, I think I'm like, last I checked, I was 4th in the average there at Fort Worth. So.
Dale, yeah. What'd you get on? Who'd you get on?
Gosh, I got on a United horse. Was one of the it was the last round. Actually, it was the better of the 3 horses that I got on, and that was kind of a younger one. They called that one Happy Hour X311. He was really good. Kind of came out, had a little bit of a slip, and then really set up and turned right back toward the bucking chutes, and was pretty fun.
So, y'all got to get on 3 in Fort Worth. I forgot about that. Aren't they back to back too?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Do you guys do you enter on the weekends? Because is it Saturday you get on all 3 in one day?
I think Saturday and Sunday there's guys maybe get on 3 in one day. I've done that before.
Uh-huh.
So is that when you try for? Is it just a weekday to avoid that?
Yeah, I kind of set it up so, like, you know, I mean, either way, I think at Fort Worth you have to, at some point, you're going to get on two in one day. And there might be, like, one set of guys that lucks out. And you, if you get up that perf, you're up in the night perf. So there's three of those back-to-back. But for the most part, you're going to end up getting on two-head either at 10 o'clock in the morning or at 2, you know, 10 and 2 or 2 o'clock and 7:30. So
yeah,
it kind of just depends, really. We were in that boat. I think we were 7:30 and 2 p.m. and 7:30 again. So, dang.
Well, I'm just making an assumption that you wouldn't really want to do that in the bareback, right?
I mean, I don't know. Two. It depends. I don't mind two with the time in between sometimes. Get going on your first one and then just come back and do it again. But, yeah, I like to ride at night. Seems to work better.
Yeah.
Saturday night is my preferred night I like to ride. But
at least they don't do it that way at the NFR, two or three in a day.
Yeah, that would be tough.
Yeah.
Be a long week. 10 in a row is pretty tough. 10 in a day.
Daily doubles might really be pushing it.
Shoot, yeah. How many times you been in the NFR, Austin?
Three times.
Oh, I was going to say four. You, Tilden?
Five.
Five. Nice. How did it go for you this year?
Good. Best year yet. It was amazing. It was the biggest blessing in my life so far. Not really the biggest blessing, but it was my rodeo career. It was a pretty big week for me. I think I got out of there with 150,000. Ended up third in the average, third in the world. It was just, you gotta draw right out there, and I definitely did that, and it was fun. It was like an out of body experience sometimes, a little bit like long for the ride, but it was fun.
So switching gears, you won the circuit finals, had a good NFR. What's your most embarrassing moment in or out of the arena in rodeo?
Out of the arena at church camp in sixth grade, seventh, maybe. Well, I was in sixth grade, but we had lied about our age so we could go with the eighth graders because my friend Clayton Williams was in eighth grade. So we fibbed on our age to go to church camp, and we were tubing that day, and I ripped the back of my swim trunks, and my butt was hanging out, and it was on the pier in front of some girls, and that really embarrassed me for whatever reason. I don't think it would even embarrass me now, but at the time, it was pretty embarrassing.
Do you feel like it was God's sense of humor, just kind of like, hey, it was a bad way to start church camp with a lie?
I think it was exactly what it was, and it went on to, you know, like, I definitely didn't look like I was in eighth grade, so I felt a little different than a lot of other guys there. But anyway, yeah, that's, I felt like it was my punishment for lying about my age, and it was embarrassing, and I learned a lesson. In the arena, there's probably too many to count as far as embarrassing moments of,
or just rodeo in general, maybe even like on the road.
Once I I can think of a lot.
You're
of
trying
really,
to decide.
I can't hardly think about or talk about a lot of the embarrassing things.
Who's
going
to listen to this podcast?
Yeah, I mean, really no one's listening. But
can we edit this?
Yeah, no, I don't know. I've had some embarrassing moments on the rodeo trail that I'll have to think. I'm not sure off the top of my head.
I'm sure you've had some that were, was there something you observed with your traveling partner, Casey Fields, that were embarrassing for him maybe?
Yeah, probably a lot of things also, but one of the most embarrassing things that can happen in the rodeo arena, I think, is for your chaps to get stomped off because they're down around your ankles and you got to walk out like you got a full diaper, or you got to try to like pull them back up around your legs. That doesn't
work
very good.
Yeah.
You can't like trot out of the arena very fast because your feet are tied up.
That's before you know it, you're sitting in the arena
just, again, and that's just,
you're only one handed because you got a glove on. So
yeah, that's embarrassing, I think. I'll have to think about what would be appropriate to talk about.
I just hit you with it. You got any, Austin?
Gosh, I was just sitting here thinking the whole time about, you know, what would I say if you asked me that question? And I was really
lo and behold, I did.
Bam. Yeah, I know, right? No, it's more the, I'm kind of on the fence with Tilden. A lot of them, you just probably are chalked up to can't really talk about them. They're just too funny.
Mine was whenever I was like, however old you are when you're this tall.
Mm-hmm.
I was at a rodeo and I went
this
to the bathroom.
This tall, years old.
Kind of just, I could go to the bathroom by myself, but just like your parents still might go in there with you at least, just for whatever reason. Anyways, I go in there by myself. It was in Lubbock at the at Charlie's Winter Series, and my old man was picking up, and I went in there, and I was like doing the business all by myself, and like waistline is like toilet line, you know, like porcelain, like right there. So it's like barely tippy toes just to like keep myself clean, but like I didn't necessarily have to. And so like end of the business, but then old toilet seats are like, I like push it up, but maybe not far enough, you know? And so I'm like tippy toes, like focused, you know, I'm just not and paying attention to anything else. And then this toilet seat just bam. And I was in the men's, but by the time like I got done screaming, there's a lot of women in there. My dad runs in. There's like nine people in there checking on this kid, screaming at the top of his lungs. And I'm down. I just got caught there with my pants down. Of course, I can't move. You know what I mean?
That is really embarrassing.
And it actually happened.
There's nothing that's happened to me that could top that.
That's pretty good. I mean, and of course, my pants are on my ankles. You know, like I'm not comfortable enough full to just exposure. Leave. Right. Yeah. And then some old ladies walk in, secretaries, radio secretaries. Anyways, scarred me for life. But what can you do?
Nothing. You know, you move on.
You're just on to the next one.
And you just ignore the giggles.
Yeah,
ignore the giggles. Has. I've wondered why those older ladies giggle at you when you walk by. Yes, some of them are there.
You feel like the quicker you get out into public, the more everything gets back to normal.
Right. Well, these days with social media, you don't really have that opportunity.
Yeah, you're pretty busted right there when it happens.
Because there's eight Snapchats.
Yeah.
So embarrassing. My most embarrassing rodeo memory is I didn't grow up around rodeo or horses or anything. I just decided I wanted to be a bareback rider. And I started going to these high school rodeos. And you go ask the stock contractor, what's old number 12? He's like, oh, it's the sorrel horse in the back. You know, the sorrel mare. And I'm like,
oh,
like I didn't know the colors of the horses. And it took about five high school rodeos before I finally asked my friend Spence Barney. I'm like, if it's not a black horse, a white horse, or a paint horse, I'm pretty much guessing as to which one it is. And so
sorrel, roan. Like,
yeah,
I don't know what
they started throwing these other words at me. I was getting pretty confused. And so Spence, we were at his house, and he had some old NFR tapes. And so we went through and watched old NFR tapes, and he identified the horse colors for me so I could even figure out which horse to
not
get
to show
on.
You, yeah. Not to show you fundamentals. No, like, it's just pause. This is a sorrel.
If he says sorrel, that's what you're looking for right there. So, yeah. Anyway, that was kind of embarrassing.
And terminology, like jump kicker. I feel like we need to have a terminology video where, like, we just teach the public on rodeo terminology.
I could have used that at a young age.
You would have benefited from it. From it. Yes. Jump kicker. That's what in the bronc ride. Get Mexican, too. They do this with their hand right there. International sign for they have no idea.
Yeah.
They don't know what's coming. Yeah. Especially depending on what stock contractor you're talking to. Favorite stock contractor. Not about the horses, just the person.
Favorite stock contractor to hang out with? I don't know. I can't name just one. I could hit you with the top five.
That's it. You just got these memories flashing in your brain all of a sudden.
I'm saying as far as like the coolest older stock contractor character guy that I've ever got to be around is Benny Butler, I think.
Yeah.
He plays the part well. He's a cool guy. He loves bucking horses, loves rodeo. He's been in the business forever.
Y'all don't hang out with. Me.
Yeah, you don't be mad at him. The rest of these guys don't be mad at me because I picked Benny. But, you know, Scotty Lovelace was a really good friend of mine. I think he's still alive. I hadn't heard from him since he doesn't take horses to NFR anymore. He hasn't called me or anything. But Stace Smith is awesome. Love those guys. Yeah. Tim Bridwell's got big ears, but he's a cool guy. Calgary Stampede, all their guys are cool, fun to hang out with.
Get along with Sammy?
No, Sammy's mean. No, Sammy Andrews, nicest guy in rodeo, probably. Like him. I like all those guys, man. Rodeo's it's a cool sport, you know, as far as the people you get to know and the friends you end up making. And I've been fortunate to know a lot of them, and it's been fun.
Do you ever been skiing with Stace?
No, but I seen we were trying to get him to go with us after the NFR, and then I seen your videos. It looks like he got you off in the middle of some
like I think it's like I think he finds more joy in like killing off rodeo cowboys on a double black diamond than he does on his horses or bulls. And his like he's got a little 11-year-old son that's just like a little athlete, and this 11-year-old is going on these double blacks and just and I'm up there like I'm about to die. Straight down. Anyways, whatever. On to the next one. I'll just keep spurring his bulls, you know?
Yeah.
He can get mad if he wants. But what can you do?
He got his payback with you on the mountain.
Right. That's what he's got to get it somewhere.
Yeah.
But
Stace, he's an extreme athlete. Dirt bike rider. Son Riggin's a real good dirt bike rider.
Yep.
Stace flies a plane. I've flown in his plane with him. That was cool, flying around his place. I didn't know he was a pilot, though. We just showed up to...
Oh, he actually flies them?
Yeah. Well, that was my surprise. I knew that he had a plane, and he flew around in a plane, and we were doing the rodeo school, and Bradley Harder's like, hey, you want to come buzz the tower with me and Stace? And I'm like, sure. And I got in the truck. I didn't know what we were doing. We drove down the road about a quarter mile and pulled up to this hangar, and Stace starts pulling this plane out, and I'm like, oh, we're buzzing the tower. We're gonna buzz the arena. And they're like, yeah. Really, and I'm like, this. Cool. So I'm helping them pull the plane out, and I kind of, everybody starts loading up, and I'm like, hey, who's going to fly this thing? Stace is like, me. It's mine. I'm going to fly it. And I was like, do you know how to fly? He's like, yeah, I've been flying
since
I
was like 18
or so. So, yeah, he's a pilot and a good one. We flew all around.
I mean, you're alive.
Yeah, I guess that's the only thing to judge by. Yeah, we lived through it. We're all still alive. All still the best friends.
How many rodeos a year do you fly to, like, as far as just, like, little puddle jumpers like that?
We had a plane over the 4th of July this year, and then maybe one or two other times. Yeah. I wish we flew to more of them. Anyone out there with a plane that would like to fly around some bareback riders and have the time of your life, contact Tilden Hooper. I'm not giving my contact info. Yeah. You can find me online.
And then short go for Austin and Houston. Guys are doing it. Are they doing it? Is that overlapping again?
I don't think it's overlapping this year. I know like 2 years ago, Mason Clements and RC Landingham and some of them guys took a helicopter or something like that. Between the two, maybe.
I just told them, you know what, guys? I'm not even going to enter either one of them. You know, so add a little more money, spread them out, then I might enter them. If I can't go to both of them, I'm not going to go to either one.
You got to take care of your body.
Yeah. Wildest story that you feel comfortable sharing that happened in Vegas in your 3 or 5 years, or maybe when you were just out there.
Wildest story.
During the NFR. NFR, for those of you that don't know, is in Las Vegas, Nevada, 10 days, December, every year. It's our Super Bowl. And it can get, I don't know, I feel like the days before, you got to get there 3 days early. I feel like, is that when guys let loose the most? Is those 3 days before? No.
I don't know. There's probably some guys that let loose that are a little nervous that I'm on the mic right now.
Exactly.
I have seen some things.
I've seen some things.
But I don't know. Everybody kind of lets their hair down a little bit before it gets started, and then everybody gets to business once it gets going. Honestly, the wildest thing I ever seen out there was, and it's not like a wild bar story, it's just kind of crazy that it happened. Yeah. And it was my very first NFR, first round. We're standing on the back of the chutes, about to get on. Horses are loaded. I'm supposed to get on Resistol's top hat. My Riggin's on her. I'm just kind of watching the intro. They're doing the Viva Las Vegas and everything. Casey's standing beside me doing the air spur on his leg. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, he's air bearing right beside me. Air bear right beside me. And all of a sudden kind of gets this oh crap look on his face and like looks down at his spur, looks back at me. He's like, hey, can I borrow your spurs? And I'm like, why? He was like, well, the rowel just fell out of mine. I'm like, oh, BS. And I look down there and sure enough, no rowel in the spur. Like,
oh my
we're
gosh.
Starting right now. And he's just calm as can be. He's like, can I borrow your spurs? I was like, yeah, sure. Let me ride first. And so I ride and run back up the arena, hand him my spurs. He puts them on, goes out there and rides. And anyway, that was just crazy, like how calm he was. Everything is just like, yeah, let me borrow yours. And I'm like, all right. And it kind of took my mind off what I was doing. So then I wasn't quite as nervous about what I was doing. It was pretty funny.
Was it his first NFR?
Yeah, it was both of our first round. After it was all said and done, Rory Limmel come up to us. He was like, hey, you guys know this isn't the 4-H rodeo. You need your own equipment tomorrow night, please, just for time purposes. So I was just like, he was pretty amazed. I guess he was standing behind us through the whole conversation. He was just shaking his head. He was like, you guys are something else.
Hey, can y'all run mine later? We're sharing Riggins. We're sharing Riggins, yeah. Can y'all buck my saddle bronc horse with the Bears because I'm going to use his saddle?
Yeah.
At the NFR, the very first one, that's funny.
Yeah, it's just like nothing, too. I thought he was joking. He's like, hey, can I buy your spurs? I was like, so Chris Harris won the round that night, and there's a picture of Chris on power play, like, just blowed up in front of the chutes, and you can see me kneeled down on the ground in front of the buck and chute taking my spurs off to hand them up to the chute in Casey.
So you going with Casey this year?
Yeah, I guess. I think so.
Just y'all two?
Yeah, no one. We found out no one else likes us that much. So we,
really?
No, actually, Mason Clements, Mason Hollywood Clements, is traveling with us. He's out with a knee injury right now. He should be back in April or May. So, we enter these rodeos together this time of year, me and Casey, but obviously don't travel together that much because he's flying back home to his family, and I'm just here, you know. And after Reno, about the 4th of July is whenever we kind of get in the truck and really start hitting the road, I guess.
Yeah, it's kind of for guys that live in Texas, at least, when you're traveling in the springtime, it's really just like enter so you can hang out with them once you get there.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because you're all coming from different directions, but
it just depends on where you live. Like I always tell Tilden, I was like, you know, when you're in Texas, if you live in Texas a lot, you're gonna fly to a lot more rodeos, and then like when you're from the Northwest, you're gonna be down in Texas for a lot longer during the winter, and it's not that bad. Like today, it's 83 degrees, and up at home, it's snowing. So I don't want to be up there. I'd rather be down here rodeoing.
Yeah, no kidding. Who are you going with this year?
Probably just myself and Coy. We'll probably be hitting it pretty hard.
Who enters? Probably you.
Yeah, me mostly. It'd be me, Coy, and sometimes Logan Patterson. He jumps in with us. So
we were talking about this earlier, Tilden and I. Like, there needs to be, like, I think there's a job out there waiting for, because I missed the books today. I was going to go to Los Fresnos. Okay, you know what? They don't have enough at it, but I'm still going to go. I'm going to bless these guys with my presence. But I missed the books, of course. And if we had a secretary, maybe like a former Buckle Bunny.
Yeah, possibly.
To just like enter us, and maybe she gets a percentage of our winnings. I don't know.
You know, that's something to think about. Really,
would you entertain that?
I'd entertain it because then we wouldn't be forgetting anything at least.
Right.
You know, we'd always have a double check, and then again, we'd have somebody to blame really.
That's too, the main thing. Yeah. So someone to blame.
And it's not on me.
Yeah.
You know?
That's at the end of the day, that's what you're paying for. Yeah.
I didn't want to go to this dang rodeo anyway.
You entered me on the wrong
Janet
day.
Janet entered me here. I told Janet,
Janet,
I didn't want to come to this one. Do you miss them often?
Oh, who?
Rodeos? Do you miss books on rodeos?
You know, this is a funny story. So the other day, I just missed Jackson, and it was driving me crazy because we were driving down the road, and I was like, Coy, I swear to God, I read someplace that Jackson closes on the 29th. And I was like, I got to pull over for a minute. And I pulled over, got in the back of the camper. I grabbed the year-end edition of the PSN that came to me, the one I've had since I left the house. I haven't gotten a new one.
This one?
Right here. Boom.
I believe that's it was the other one before that.
Yeah, because this doesn't
2018,
have...
very last edition. And it says in there, it closes on the 29th. I don't know if you guys have a PSN out there, check that out. But you'll that see, checked. It says, yeah, it says 29th, so I wasn't crazy. And then, well, we missed re-entries anyway, so.
Either way,
yeah.
It's not meant
either
to be
way,
for us to
it just
to
wasn't meant
so
to be to go there. So.
You called PRCA to plead your case. Like, look, y'all misprinted it.
Yeah, I was about to, and then I was like,
well, I missed that too.
No, dang sure missed the re-entry, so there's no arguing that one.
What's the biggest rodeo you've missed the books on?
Oh, I've missed Ogden, Utah. I'm usually good to miss like one big one a year.
Yeah.
But I always, since it seems like I always do it to like, and Utah, so it's always like Casey's one of his biggest circuit rodeos. I don't do that on purpose, but I have missed.
Sorry, bud.
I've missed the books for Ogden before as one of the biggest ones. Last year, I thought that I was supposed to miss the books for San Antonio, and literally had a meltdown, like big time. And my wife was even kind of not yelling at me, but she was very disapproving in the way she was talking to me about how I'd missed the books. And this was in December. I don't know, let's just say December 18th, I thought the books closed for San Antonio. Like, I just, all of a sudden, I look at my phone and I'm like, oh man, they're closing in 10 minutes. I start calling, well, no one's answering at ProCom. And then it keeps cutting me off. Like, it would ring a few times.
That means, and then it would means there's more than 12 people in the queue. Well, I found out.
Good to know. It was really meaning that, I mean, it meant that me and my wife had been married for just a couple months, and she was talking about possibly leaving me. Not really. But this ProCom almost caused our first argument. And anyway, so I call Casey. I'm like, get calling right now, da da da. He's freaking out. My wife's calling. I'm like, it gets 11 o'clock and we don't get through. And I'm like wanting to pull over and cry. She's kind of just not mad, but disappointed. Casey's, you know, pretty disappointed. I'm like, I don't know. We tried to call. There's got to be something we can do. Call the director. So Casey calls Caleb Bennett. And then, like, leaves him a message. I call him, leave him a message frantically. I don't know what he was going to do. But then he calls me back laughing. He's like, hey, man, you need to look in your sports news. San Antonio closes January 18th, not December 18th. You're going to be fine. So I had, like, a 30-minute meltdown.
Days off?
Well, I just seen the 18th. I didn't look. I don't know. I wasn't obviously paying good enough attention, but.
That's hilarious. Man, I had a meltdown. How did y'all do at San Antonio?
I don't know. Won a little money. I don't think I made it back to the semifinals. So.
Yeah, so I thought I got cut off. Like, first off, your wife was probably yelling at you, like, are you just going to be a Dale Brisby now?
She doesn't yell at me, actually. She's just kind of like very calmly can let me know that that was a bad idea to miss those books.
We're just going to talk about being a rodeo cowboy. Yeah. I think it was Tyler. But I called and it kept cutting me off, and it cut me off like four times. You know, it rings like four times and it goes beep, beep, beep. And then it's just call ended. And so I was like, oh crap, ProCom's down again. And, cause they had been down the previous Friday and, which typically they give an extra day on the books. But anyways, they were like, no, we were up. When it does that, that means all the lines are full and there's 12 people waiting in the queue.
Wow.
And so, like, they don't even have enough room to, like, keep you on hold. They just kick you off, and you got to call back.
So, lesson here is definitely call in when entries open, not when they're closing, right?
Yeah.
I would say that's something you could
do. I'm going to write that on top of my binder.
Depends on how you want to do it. If you want to just graph about missing the books, then
yeah. Depends on how your schedule is.
That's kind of my game plan. Like, I just, you know, I got nodding at a lost president. They got me fined up. But I use my calendar in my phone, and it'll put, like, three alerts. And then I do an alert before the books open, after they open, and then before they close, like I did with Los Fresnos, and I still missed them.
See, what I do when we get in the thick of it and everything started, there's entries opening every day and stuff. I just, every morning as soon as I wake up, call ProCom, make them tell me what's opening and closing. Yeah. Then I enter from there.
And then they're just like, is this Tilden? Yes, it is.
You know you have a ProCom. You know you have a magazine with all this information in it. That's maybe why the queue's full, because I like to call up there and talk.
Member Records, this is Anthony. Oh, it's Dale.
Anthony, it's your boy, T.
This is DB. Card number 001. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, Anthony doesn't like me because I called too much. But
I always get the impression that maybe there's really only like three people that work there, and they change their voice every time. Like, they have different little voice changers, and like maybe it's just Aaron Ingett and two other people up there, right. And they made up these other names to make the staff seem larger. But I almost feel like there's like two rotary telephones up there and two people with a original Apple computer from the 80s sitting there punching in.
It seems like when I call in there, you always get somebody that's new at it. Like, and there's somebody in the background that you can keep hearing. Like,
or they're just like acting like it. Yeah. So it's like, can you hold, please? And then they just put you on hold and they know the answer. Okay, I talked to so-and-so, and they just get back on.
Yeah. Do you think people also, this is another thing I wonder about Procom, do they wear, like, do they have to dress business casual, yeah, or are they just sitting there in their shorts? Like, on the, like, because I imagine someone in, like, a suit or dressed up taking my order, my call, but really they're probably just, like, nice button-up shirt, maybe in their underwear like you are right now.
Right, yeah, just waist down.
We're thinking, like, Jake from State Farm is answering the phone. Should be answering the phone.
What is their dress code up there? Do you know? Do they have to wear? Do they wear PRCA dress code?
Yeah. I feel like they should.
I think they should.
I think so.
Yeah.
Long sleeve shirt,
button ups,
cowboy hat, American
little headset,
cinch jeans. Yeah.
Yeah. Shameless plug. Let me get that in. That's okay. I do it all the time. They're used to it. Flows right. I would love to hear like a mixtape because you know they're all recorded. A mixtape of like, Procom calls gone wrong, you know, just like all the, like when, you know, like back in the day when like Chris Harris got pissed off, like what that would have sounded like, just like anything, like I feel like they've got some solid gold in their archives. Procom call archives.
With me, they probably do even. I got upset about some things that were happening and, kind of lost my temper a little bit with a lady that works up there, nice lady, and then I got off the phone and my mom had heard me, and I didn't say anything really, I wasn't cussing at this lady or anything, but I was being pretty short and was pretty aggravated, and I got off the phone and my mom had heard me, and she made me feel so bad. She was like, that lady didn't make the rule, she's just the one that had to tell you about the rule, you know, and like made me feel bad. And so I called back up there and I'm like,
can I speak with so-and-so?
It was Amy Fields, who it was the lady's name anyway. I'm like, can I speak to Amy, please? And I was like, Amy, it's Tilden Hooper. And she's like, oh, yeah. How's
it going? What did I do now?
But I'm just like, oh, God. I just wanted to tell you I'm really actually sorry for the way I just talked to you. I know that you weren't in charge or anything. And she was still just really confused. Like, I might be the only guy that's ever called back and apologized.
Please tell me you told her. My mom made me call.
But if you're listening, Amy, my mom did make me do that.
My mom made me.
I'm glad she did, because I'm better than that. Thanks to her.
Oh, my gosh. I got to know if this is true. It's been on my mind ever since Casey told me about his, I think it was in, I don't remember what episode of Rodeo Time, but where Casey talks about like filling up your mouth with baby powder. Whenever you're sleeping, you sleep with your mouth open?
I do sleep with my mouth open.
Did he fill it with baby powder one time?
They have filled it with lots of things. Ketchup packets, barbecue sauce packets, baby powder, pretty much. I mean, these things haven't happened in years. But there was a time when there was a lot of nonsense going on.
Casey, if you're out there, next time, please film it so we can catch footage of this.
I got Kenny Hayworth one time with the classic shaving cream and the feather for the tickle. It was all right, and we filmed it, too. I think it's on my old phone, but he was asleep on the couch, and he actually had his arm just perfect laid out, and I forget who was with us, but I was like, man, get that can of shaving cream out. This is going to be the best thing ever. And sure enough, got him to roll over there a little bit more, and I took that feather and just pulled it across his face, and got it all over him. It was the best
thing.
That's
hilarious. What's the best rodeo, best prank you guys have pulled on each other or seen or heard of?
Talk about that.
Or dream prank. Yeah.
My favorite prank that I've ever been a part of probably was we were going to Omak, Washington, and you drive through this kind of middle of nowhere area for a while getting there. And it was me, Casey, Joe Gunderson, and Jesse Davis. And Joe was in the camper, and the three of us were in the truck. Joe was napping. We're driving along there, and there's about a 6'5", 280-300 pound Indian man walking down the side of the road headed to the rodeo.
Pick him up!
And we're like, we should pick this guy up, but tell him there's only room in the camper and hustle him into the camper and then just take off driving. So Joe, he comes alive, and there's just a strange man in the camper with him, right? And so Jesse, though, he's like, no, don't do that. You know, don't do that. And we're like, oh, me and Casey are all geared up. We're wanting to do it. And Jesse talks us out of it. So we go on to OMAC, ride, stay, enjoy the after rodeo activities for a while, watch the big horse race off the side of the hill into the water and all of that. And then we're going to head back down to whatever that first town is. And there's like a big, just like a big lake there we were going to. So we leave out of there and we're just kind of easing back down there later that afternoon. And Jesse's in the camper now and Joe's in the truck. And lo and behold, same guy walking home. We see him on the side of the road. And we're like, oh, we want to pick this guy up. And Joe's like, heck yeah, let's do it. Joe doesn't balk about it at all. He's like, that's a great idea.
That's a great idea.
So, and Jesse has been in the camper for probably 45 minutes before we left. Like, he was asleep.
He's
like,
gone.
Yeah, and so we get it all worked out. Casey pulls over. I'm like, I'm going to just jump out, be like, hey, sir, we can give you a ride, but we're in a hurry. Just get in the back. Like, we wanted to do it before Jesse realized we were stopped, right? So, do that real fast. I mean, I pretty much just shoved this guy into the camper, slammed the door, and we take off driving. And then Jesse wakes up in the camper, and this guy's big enough, like, just, like, not like a overly fat guy or nothing, but he's just a huge guy.
Yeah.
A rodeo camper, these pre-rodeo campers are awesome. So he's probably not that
big. He's probably like bending down, like hunkered down.
Oh yeah, like he had to squeeze into the back of the camper.
It makes him look even bigger.
Yeah, and so Jesse wakes up and here's this huge guy standing in the camper. He calls us,
that guy.
He's like, real funny guys. And so by the time he calls us, I guess we had already driven like 10 miles past this guy where he needed to go. So we really ended up just picking him up 10 miles from where he was going and driving him 10 miles past where he needed to be and dropping him off again. And then he had to go back home.
Poor guy.
So the joke was on him and Jesse.
Collateral damage. Sorry, bud. You're a prop today. Oh, my gosh. So is Shirley, I know I've done it. Like, have y'all ever done the stuff that, like, Bill and Jake pulled on, what's his name? With the, crap. Chad Rutherford. Whenever they changed the clocks.
And
he's asleep.
Yeah.
You didn't see that video?
No.
He was in this, they were going to a rodeo, they changed the clocks, and, like, Chad's, like, all kinds of, like, nervous and everything, and, like, oh, man, we're not going to make it. So he, like, tapes up. And like puts his chest on, they pull up to the rodeo, and he jumps out and runs, and they're filming the whole thing, and he gets over there, and it's like 4:30 in the afternoon, and he thought the rodeo was about to start.
That is awesome.
But like just the way that he jumped out of the van and ran, and like why he thought Jake and Bill didn't need to be getting rodeo.
Well, they weren't running with
him. Just didn't register. But I did.
That's wrong. Somebody needs to prank them. Chad Rutherford is a nice.
He's the sweetest guy.
He served our country.
Yeah.
They're picking on veterans. Jake Brown, Bill Tudor, they pick on veterans.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for nothing, guys.
Yeah. A lot of people think they're so nice, dude.
No. Chad's the nice one.
Chad is the nice one. Chad, sorry, man. I'm going to get those guys back.
I did it to Emmy Cannon. You do know Emmy?
I do.
Oh, my gosh. Emmy Cannon's a loose cannon.
Yeah.
I love that guy. He's the biggest smile. Y'all kind of look alike.
Really?
Y'all could be cousins.
Maybe we are.
Like, he's got the biggest smile, real tall. We went to Florida. And we were coming back, me, him, and Ross Sherrod. We were in Leroy's car, and he went back there. We were swapping every 4 hours, and he fell asleep, and he was asleep for, like, 8 minutes. And we changed the clock. And we're like, all right, Emmy, it's your turn. He was like, golly, I feel like I just fell asleep, man. I feel like I just fell asleep. He got behind the wheel. We let him drive for like 10 minutes, and then we switched back. But
it's a pretty good trick.
So he went down there. He was the only one to cover. He won like $3,500 in the bull ride. He could ride all of them.
Yeah, he rode barebacks, too.
He could ride everything.
Yeah.
And fight bulls really good.
Yeah, I remember him.
But anyways, you got any pranks?
Oh, man, I'm trying to think of a few. Not really.
No?
I'll think one up, though.
I need one.
I have enough of them that I've pulled on people. Everybody knows I like to joke around with people. Just my memory isn't that long.
Yeah.
Jason Havens and Ryan Gray and Bobby Moat pranked me my rookie year really hard.
Yeah?
That got me good. They called and had this, like, they had a prepaid cell phone and called and got, like, yeah. Jason acted like he was with some big energy drink company or something, and they wanted to sponsor me, and it was like $50,000, like, just a lot of money, you know. And I'm like, oh my God, this is awesome, you know. They're like, we want to meet up with you in Caldwell, Idaho. It was a tour finale then, and they're like, we want to meet up with you there, and we'll talk to you there and stuff. And I'm like, oh man, and
so jacked.
Oh dude,
like yes or no, like, sir.
Oh yeah, just everything. And like Jason is just nailing it, dude. Like maybe he does own an energy drink company. I don't know, but he sure sounded like it. And anyway, so I get to Caldwell, and I'm like trying to call this number back, and it just keeps going to voicemail. Into voicemail, and they won't answer, and I'm like, oh man, what the heck,
you know, I mess up,
what did I do? Well, then I, you know, like I enjoyed myself thoroughly in Caldwell, like I did at that age, and so Caldwell's all done and we leave, and I actually went with Ryan Gray's brother Kel Gray back to their mom's place there in Washington, and we spent a few days in between there and whatever was next. And we're eating dinner, and Ryan's there, his wife's there, his brother, mom, whole family. Justin McDaniel and me were traveling together, so J-Mac's there. He's sitting at the table beside me. He kind of knows what's been going on, but J-Mac's like one of the only people I've really told about what's going on, you know, because I didn't answer the phone. Well, I'm eating dinner, and my phone rings, and it's the number, and I like answer it. Sorry, guys, got to take this. Leave the table, go outside. And it's Jason, the CEO of this company, and he's like, hey, you know, sorry we didn't meet up with you in Caldwell, but we kind of seen how you were enjoying yourself after the rodeo, and, you know, you getting a little wild, and, you know, that's just not the image we're wanting to push and all this. And I'm like, immediately going to change my whole life over, you know, like I'm just like I'm about to start crying. Like I just think that I, you know, went partying in Caldwell and it cost me $50,000 basically. And so I'm like down in the dumps, you know, head down, come back, sit down at the dinner table. Ryan's like, who's that? I was like, oh, it's nobody, you know, everything all right? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine, you know. Well, 5 minutes later, J-Mac's phone rings, and he gets up, walks outside the door, comes back in. He's like, hey, these guys, those ones that were talking to you just called. They want to sponsor me for $50,000, too. They said they had some money free up, and they want to do some stuff with me. And, like, now I'm, like, about to take a fork and just jam it in my eyes, you know? Like, I don't, like, I'm at a breaking point where I'm about to start crying at this family dinner pretty much.
Oh, my gosh.
And Ryan's like, isn't that the same thing you had? Like, and just foot on my throat, grinding it in. And, like, it was a day or two before I figured out that it was them.
Oh, that's hilarious.
They let me stay down in the dumps for a few days before they ever even told me.
That's hilarious.
So that was a pretty good one.
I feel like, I mean, like, being a rookie, like, I was like, it wasn't, like, a super big prank. I just got played by a veteran. It wasn't near that funny, but just leaving Pendleton, I was caught a ride back with Matt Bright. It was in his rig, and Will Lowe, and then Sam Spreadborough. And, like, I was jacked. Like, I was first time to Pendleton, and I'm like, I literally came out of the freaking shop there, and, like, I had, like, a Pendleton deal with, like, keychains and the sticker, and I had a T-shirt, and I was like, rookie in Pendleton.
Yeah.
You know? And I'd ran around. I'd stayed with Chandler Bounds. Yeah. And Lucas Gilbo broke his leg that year. Anyways, and like I'm like, I rode my bull and I was all jacked up. Went 90, of course. Anyways, get in his rig and we go. Leroy tried to warn me.
He did.
My mic fell. We start going down the road, and we're just like telling rodeo stories, you know, go up that hill when you're leaving, and Matt's driving, you know, of course, take the first leg at 9 p.m. at night, and he drives. Sam immediately starts drinking, and I was like such a big fan of Will Lowe, like, you know, like I was like, and still am,
yeah,
very much so, but like, you know, so long ago, and I'm like, and so Will's like telling stories, and I'm like everything but taking notes, you know. And so he's like, I think I'm gonna know what happened. Yeah, Will crawled back in the back to go to sleep, and Matt's like, it was like 1 a.m. and the stories were kind of dying off, and Matt's like, I think I'm going to take a break too. And I look over and Sam's like, I'm drunk. And so here's this little rookie up in the front seat driving the graveyard. I'm not going to go back there and wake up Will Lowe, you know? So it was my first experience of just like, pay attention. And whenever you go into the good, to the souvenir store, like hide it, put it in your rigger bag. Don't carry it out and like, okay, this is the sucker that we're going to play. And make drive the graveyard shift in 4 hours when everybody goes to sleep.
That's funny.
And then the next morning, you know, Will wakes up. It's like 6 a.m. and I'm barely awake. And then Will really starts telling stories and giving advice on like how to rodeo. And so then I couldn't go to sleep. So I slept for 2 days and I got to my girlfriend's house at the time and just... She comes and picks me up. I got to her house the next morning, like 5 a.m. And we fall asleep on the couch. I just fall asleep. And apparently in the middle of the night, like I hadn't slept for 2 days, you know, and I didn't sleep much the night before, you know, we left. And apparently in the night, like I woke up and told her I loved her. And I didn't. Actually. And it just all led
That's
to
a good
this.
Rodeo prank, really.
Yeah, so I woke up, and then now all of a sudden we're saying the L word, and I'm like, I had no way to get out of it. She was like, yeah, last night you woke up and told me, and I was like, oh, yeah, I guess I did, you know.
How about that?
Doesn't count.
Doesn't count. It's between the hours of 5 and 6 in the morning.
Oh,
so funny. Don't go to the souvenir store.
Will Lowe taught the first bareback school I went to, him, Wes Stevenson, Tom McFarland, Royce Ford. All these guys, I'm like 16, go to this bareback school out at Stay Smith's. And anyway, we had this camper there, me and my dad and mom, like this RV. And Will's sister was maybe competing at the Winter Series in Course of Canada that they used to have.
Yeah.
And Will wanted to go down and see his sister, but I guess he didn't have any wheels. And I did. And he's like, they'd been real cool to me. We'd been hanging out and stuff. And he's like, hey, you want to go to the Course of Canada tonight? You know, I'm like...
You're right.
Heck yeah. I'm like, yeah, dude. He's like, you got that car, that Tahoe over there? I'm like, my mom does, but yeah, you know. Yeah, I'm sure we could take it. You know what I mean?
She doesn't have to go.
No big deal. So I'm like, all right. So I go back to the camper. Meanwhile, Will's standing outside the door right here. I'm like, hang on a minute. The keys, let my parents know what's happening, you know.
How old were you?
16, which really I was going to have to go beg them to let me go and everything. And so I step into the camper, shut the door behind me, and I'm telling my mom and dad, I'm like, hey, I'm about to go to Corsicana, you know, to the Winter Series Rodeo with Will Lowe. And my dad's just sitting over there smiling, kind of shaking his head. And my mom's like, who? And I was like, Will Lowe. And she's like, who is that? I'm like, that's the guy teaching the school, you know, the world champ over
there.
This is
important, mom.
You know, that like earlier that day, she had pulled me off to the side because Will and Wes had rode. Got on 2 practice horses, and she's seen them ride. She pulls me off to the side, and she's like, if you're going to get a scholarship, you're going to have to step it up. Those other little boys were a lot better than you. And I'm like, yeah, they're practicing for the NFR, Mom. Like, so I'm like, one of those guys, Mom.
Mom's standards are
up there. Yeah, like she was ready for me to be able to do it. And I'm like, Will Lowe's going to see his sister, and we're going to take your Tahoe. We're going to go. And she's like, well, I'm going to have to meet him. I was like, you met him earlier. He introduced himself to the school, you know.
Be cool, Mom.
And she's like, well, I don't know who this is. You know, and I'm going to just have to meet him. And I'm like, okay, cool. He's right behind this door. I'm like, Will, would you come meet my mom, please? And I'm like, blood red, man, like all embarrassed. Anyway, he was real cool about it. And my mom did let me go, and it was like the coolest thing ever for me.
She was like, hello, Will. How are you?
She's like, hey, little guy. How's it going?
She knew why
he needed me to drive is because I could reach the pedal.
That's why she thought he was in high school.
Yeah, it was him and Wes, and she definitely did. She looked me straight in the eye. She's like, you know, if you're going to get a scholarship to go ride in college, you're going to have to step it up. Them other little boys are a lot better than you. And I'm like, yep, they are.
Those other little boys. Oh, that's funny. Well, anything else you need to share with us on the podcast?
I don't know.
Do you feel like the citizens of Winnebago can't live without?
Is this like a confessional or?
What's some like?
I got a lot to get off my chest. This is good. That camera up here.
This is a booth,
right?
Or whatever they call it, confessional booth. No, what about let's end with some life advice.
I want off to the start.
Life advice, guys.
It can be bareback related.
Yeah, don't miss entries. Look at the PSN. stay healthy, stay working out, stay after it, whatever you're doing out there, and just be positive, guys. Just work for what you want in life. Don't worry about what everybody else thinks. Just go get it. Just go have fun.
On to the next one.
That's right.
What he said.
What he said.
I don't know. I think my life advice would just be whatever you do, try your hardest at it. If you work hard at it and you put the effort in every day, you can do whatever it is you want to do, you know. And like Austin said, don't worry about what other people think about what you're doing. Just put the work in, put the time in, pay the rent, and good things will come, you know. And if rodeo is what you're wanting to pursue, do whatever it takes to reach your dream and your goal, because it's the most fun, cool lifestyle you can have, absolutely have the chance to live. And you don't have to have a lot of talent. You just got to have a lot of try.
Yeah. Yep. And my life advice is never be ashamed of who you are. Unless you don't ride bulls.
Don't forget who you are, where you came from.
That has been Reread Stories in the Chute, Rodeo Time, whatever we decide to name the show, with Dale Brisby. On to the next one.